To every season, there is a podcast. Want to hear some great stories about real people? You've got This American Life or The Moth. Can't get enough interviews? You can listen to WTF with Marc Maron or Anna Faris is Unqualified. Need to laugh? Comedy Bang Bang or My Brother and Me have got you covered. But if you like a little taste of the strange, then you'll never feel more at home than when you're listening to your favorite true crime podcast. Serial, Sword and Scale, S-Town, whatever happened to Richard Simmons. Of course, the only crime there was that that podcast existed in the first place. Tonight's story takes your favorite murderous guilty pleasure and asks why. Why are we drawn to the weird and the macabre? It finds comfort in the shared violence before it rips the rug out from under your feet. Let's get to it. Turn off the television set, flick off the lights, grab a friend or someone who won't mind being kidnapped for a bit, and curl up on your favorite carpet with the radio turned on as Distilled Theater Company presents Not Your Final Girl, a DTC radio story by Natalie Zuter.
Welcome to Murder Is My Jam, the only true crime podcast with serial killers and self-care. I'm your co-host, Sydney.
And I'm your co-host, Ellen.
I'm usually the one who sets up the metaphorical campfire and draws everyone close, then scares the shit out of you, and myself, with the latest gory true crime story.
And I'm the one who throws the ashes on the campfire and then slowly pulls us out of the dark pit we've climbed into.
It's a pretty ingenious system. Delve into our deepest fears, exhume our darkest anxieties in a safe space, then purge all that bad energy so we can drive home without constantly glancing in our backseat for an axe murderer.
The ultimate catharsis. And we take turns so that neither of us has to carry too much of the burden.
I'm sorry, guys. Ellen's not actually here. That's just a recording. The intro just doesn't make sense with only me. And we've said it so many times that I thought... We're down to a routine by this point. Every Tuesday, she gets here a few minutes after 12. No matter how many times she drives here, she's always at least 5 minutes late, with tacos or bubble tea or some sort of little present. It's never necessary. It's not like I'm doing her any favors. I'm the one who gets to sit on my couch in my pajamas while she comes to me. She never showed up. You guys might have noticed there was no episode last week, the first time since we launched the show. I made up a lame excuse about losing my voice, and for that, I'm sorry. We never wanted to lie to you. It's a cliche, but we would be nowhere without you. Our jammers. You're the ones who put us at the top of iTunes, who put us in Entertainment Fucking Weekly, who send us out on live shows and cross-country tours. You say that listening to the podcast makes you feel like you're in the room with us, and we're still getting over the fact that anyone wants to listen in the first place. Which is why, when this week rolled around and Ellen still didn't appear, well, the show must go on, right? Ellen, this isn't some roundabout way of saying you don't want to do the show anymore, is it? I know how hard it is to keep friendships going, especially when you make them in adulthood, especially when they're based on such morbid shit. Believe me, I never imagined when I interrupted your story about John Wayne Gacy at Lauren's Halloween party last year that we would spend the rest of the night swapping true crime tales in the corner, or we would realize we could do this outside of the confines of one private conversation. Also, how fucking rude of me to just bust into your conversation when you were in the middle of talking. Especially now that I know how difficult it is for you to handle any sort of attention, you go bright red and start stuttering if more than two people are looking at you. And here I'm screeching, oh my god, the crawl space, right? Like a loon. I get how that would eventually just be too much, and you wouldn't be the first. Maybe I got it all wrong, and you think I'm as bad as some of the guys we talk about for being so into this dark shit. Maybe you were just humoring me when I was all, oh my god, we should do a podcast. Assuming it was a drunken impulse. Then I texted you the next day and you were trapped. You couldn't politely back out. We do an episode or two, you think it's a fluke and you've fulfilled your obligation, but then it starts picking up on social media and all of a sudden you're stuck as my co-host and worse, my friend. So now you dread every Tuesday, you wish you could drive anywhere but my apartment. Every week you try to think of an excuse until finally you decide that the only possible solution is to just not show up, to ghost me, and maybe I'll get the hint. Yeah, I wasn't kidding when I said this podcast is more about anxiety than actual fear. Cut this part. Huh. I forgot for a second that you're the one who edits my ramblings into something coherent. So I guess none of this is getting cut. The listeners are just going to get all of this, raw and unpolished. But that's not how we roll, right, Ellen? None of that middle school mean girl bullshit. You don't tiptoe around me. You called me from the toilet when you couldn't make it one Tuesday to record because you took a chance on that raw tuna sushi rito and didn't trust yourself to move more than a few feet from the bathroom. And we recorded the next day instead, and the episode still came out on Thursday as usual. Real talk. We decided from day one, any issues, no matter how petty, we would tell each other. If you're not here, it's because someone is keeping you from being here. The whole point of this show is telling stories to each other. Not in a The Ring kind of way, where it's like some sort of virus or chain letter. Remember chain letters? That you have to send to someone else, to a new victim, to get the bad juju off your back. No, it's like sitting around the campfire with Girl Scouts or at summer camp, thrilling and scaring other people in the same way you were once scared. Recreating the experience of being told that urban legend or murder mystery. It makes you less lonely. But without someone to tell the story to, there is no show. I could fake it. I could drop in your...
oh.
And...
holy shit.
Like some sort of shock jock, but that's not fair to the listeners. A story is a living, breathing thing. That's why we don't go all This American Life and pre-record readings. I mean, those sound better. I won't pretend otherwise for a second, but ours have a beating heart. Ellen, I know you get self-conscious about your reactions, about how you get more scared than I do, even by your own stories. You think there's something wrong with you, but there's not. I'm the weird one for being so numb to these kinds of stories, for cracking dark jokes just to cope with all the grisly shit we tell each other. I've realized the inherent flaw in the design of our show. It's hard to care about these people, not because they're dead, but because they're several degrees removed. But I know you, how you tick, how you'll react to a particularly awful detail, and you know me. So if by any chance you can hear this, know that I'm not just scared. I'm fucking frightened. My heart is in my throat. Which is weird because it's also knocking into my ribs. I feel this full body prickling, a constant cold sweat that I can't shrug off no matter how many layers I pile on. Because I know who took you. And I know you're listening. This was the story that Ellen didn't want me to tell, but I think that's part of why we're here. Or rather, why she's not here now. The original subreddit we set up for the podcast is a pretty tight-knit crowd. Back when we were afraid that Murder Is My Jam would offend people, or worse, that nobody would listen, we paid attention to the handful of aficionados who joined up who got us. Our OG jammers. Criminal Elements, Small Foreign Faction, Stay 666-y, Mr. Genre Savvy, and a bunch more I'm forgetting. We're so grateful for that early support, those most loyal of listeners. But that doesn't mean we're beholden to them. You know what's super fun? When someone claims that they're a fan of the show, but fails to grasp the actual concept. Like how this is a true crime podcast, we choose the stories each week. Sometimes they're tied up with a neat little bow. Other times they're unsolved and the serial killer could still be walking around among us. But you know who the killer isn't? Not Freddy, not Jason, not Ghostface. It's just some average guy. Your run-of-the-mill man who felt rejected by women, not appreciated at his job. You know, some utterly boring reason. Or one who got pissy when he thought he was being ignored. Exhibit A, the clue. Don't get me wrong, clues are fucking awesome. Who doesn't fantasize about finding some new bit of information, about getting to actually be a part of the story? But you didn't have a clue. You had a theory. A new theory about the Elisa Lam case. The episode where we watched that creepy-ass footage and then immediately put on Bob's Burgers because we needed sweet family stories and not girls jumping in and out of elevators talking to God knows who. But you were convinced that you knew something new. So convinced that you posted in the subreddit over and over and over.
You should do another episode all about Elisa Lam. Something, something, the button she pressed in the elevator. What if this could solve the case? Don't you care?
Dude, we're not serial. Just because you give us a puzzle piece doesn't mean that we're going to go out of our way to make it fit. We are by no means the only murder podcast out there. We don't own the story, only the way we tell it. You want to start talking new evidence and conspiracy theories? Start your own podcast. But that's the problem, isn't it? You don't have your own platform. Or maybe you do, but nobody's listening. You didn't like hearing no from us, so you tried to get other jammers on your side. Exhibit B, the harassment.
I bet other true crime podcasts would be so grateful for my help. Apparently there's no room for theories in a politically correct podcast like Murder Is My Jam, stuck-up cunts.
Boom. Banned. I bet you were so pissed. I reread your older Reddit posts, the not shitty ones. This group meant so much to you. Someone who had trouble talking to people in real life. Someone who felt like he had finally found his people. Really heartfelt. And we kicked you out of the one space you felt comfortable in. So you found another space we couldn't control. Twitter.
Have new intel on the Elisa Lam case, but Sydney and Ellen are too good to use it. Got kicked out of the Murder Is My Jam subreddit because the girls can't handle the competition.
Yet you kept listening. And you hated the self-care.
If you're not man enough to talk about this stuff without a little nightlight or security blanket, then you shouldn't present yourselves as an authority.
Putting aside the part where we never pretended to be experts on this, God fucking forbid we manage our own emotions and don't spend days after each recording frightened and depressed over all this shit, the violence, the violation, the victim blaming. But according to you, we're taking advantage of our listeners, using them to validate our fragile egos.
These girls just want attention.
Yeah, buddy. We're the ones who want attention. Exhibit C, the photo. Despite what you might think, Mr. Genre Savvy, we can be detectives too. We sell only a handful of VIP tickets to each live show. It can get tiring interacting with fans, and I don't say that in some conceited, I'm so famous way. It is exhausting when you're as neurotic as Ellen and I are, when you have to be on even when you can hardly believe that people will actually pay to listen to us bullshit on a stage about grisly murders. But we turn on the smiles, and we shake hands and occasionally hug, and we pay attention to the faces and the stories, if not the thoughtful gifts they're shoving into our hands. In the moment, we're focused on the jammers. Usually by the next recording, we've opened the gift so we can talk about them on air. So neither of us had touched the envelope until that day. We had no idea what was inside. Listen, you could have cut out letters from magazines and written a faux ransom note, and it would not have been as creepy, as violating, as what we found. Here's something we did cut.
It's one of the photos of us from the EW cover story, but it's crusted with, like, glue.
No, that's not glue. What the fuck? What the actual fuck?
Oh my god. Oh, ew. Ew, 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 ew. No. I gotta wash my hands.
God, who the fuck sent this? That week's self-care was ice cream. But that was another lie. We were too shaken up to leave my apartment. Instead of talking each other down after our stories, we were too amped up, bouncing off each other like ping pong balls, useless to actually help. Getting off on sick thrills like sending women photos of their faces covered
in... Okay, we should cut this.
No, I want him to hear it. I want him to hear how fucking furious I am. How I want to wring his scrawny neck.
I know, but don't you think that's exactly what he wants? For us to be talking about him like this?
I'm fine.
You're not. Talk to me.
I can't. It's just... We can't even run a fucking podcast without this shit happening. Why even bother?
Listen to me. We didn't do anything wrong.
That's the hardest part of all this. Not putting the blame on the woman. It's not that she shouldn't have been walking down the dark street alone, or that she shouldn't have accepted a gift from a seemingly harmless stranger. She shouldn't have to worry about any of that in the first place. But that's the world we live in. You're trying to put us in a horror movie. Newsflash, there's a difference between us scaring each other and you deciding that that gives you permission to treat us like victims. Even though this is, again, a true crime podcast, for you, that's no different from horror. Because both end with women getting brutally murdered. Or with the occasional survivor. The final girl. Who never really escapes. Whose life is still ruined from the trauma. Look, you have a point. If you think about it, the survivors of these stories are kind of final girls. But before that, to the killers, they're just co-eds, or campers, or preteens, or hitchhikers. These killers wanted to lump them in with the rest, to take away their identity and make them just one more victim, one more body. But they refused. So, what category do we fall into? Morbid weirdos who are fascinated by macabre shit? Friends who pass the Bechdel test without blinking an eye? Women who express opinions on the internet? You ever hear of the exquisite corpse? It's a party game where one person starts a story and then the next picks it up, but all they can go on is the last sentence. They have to say whatever comes to mind, make it up on the fly. I'm surprised no one ever renamed it Frankenstory, because that's what it is. A narrative stitched together from a dozen different parts, ending in an entirely different place from where it began. You may have started this story, but you don't get to decide how it ends. It's my turn. And I don't know everything you did, but I know enough to pick things up. You forget, Mr. Genre Savvy, that I know my shit. Your story is not unique. Stop me if I'm wrong. You intercept Ellen in the street, not because you want to tell her how much you love the show, but because you need to tell her she's wrong. That we banned you for no reason, that you deserve to be back in the group, that we shouldn't have ignored you. But she won't listen. And next thing you know, you've shoved her into your car. You panic. You can't stay out in public, so you drive her to your apartment. If you let her go, she'll go to the cops and you'll be screwed. You just need time to make her see things from your perspective. You're not holding her hostage. You just need her to stay until she understands. My dude, you could not be more of a cliche. There's always that moment in the horror movie where the heroine knows that everyone else is dead, that she's completely on her own, but she's still running from the killer. My girl Sydney Prescott has this moment in every Scream movie. She's still on the run from whoever is Ghostface this time. She's tempted to just give up because there's no last-minute return from the cop who's shot and left for dead. No 911 dispatcher going above and beyond to trace her call and send in help. She's the final girl, right? Except that she hasn't yet faced off with the killer. You can't be the final girl until you're the last person standing. Excuse me. We're gonna take a quick break. So, that's my story for this week. Normally, this is where we would go get massages or do tarot readings and podcast about it, but that's not what I need right now. You know what my self-care is this week? Putting on a disguise. Just a hoodie and sunglasses, but compared to how fancy I get for the live shows, I might as well be another basic bitch in yoga pants heading to SoulCycle. That's what you must have thought, since you stared right through me when I passed you on the street. I almost shit myself right there. But you went into the taqueria without a second glance. Our favorite taqueria. You bastard. But you gave me a clue. And you didn't even know it. Because I watched you leave with two orders. Two sets of utensils. You came back the next day. They know you by sight. You must have been coming here for weeks. Months even. I shudder to think of the times we might have been there at the same time without even knowing. Not since the photo. Like I said, it's a short VIP list. We were able to cross-reference your info through the ticket sale. Then we sat on it. What, like we were going to go to the cops? That wouldn't have done anything. We didn't know what to do with it. Until Ellen didn't show up, and suddenly those puzzle pieces started fitting together. They know you by order, which is why they've been surprised when you're ordering for two. They tease you about a lady friend. Nothing but the best, is all you say. Take out, not delivery, because you couldn't risk someone coming to your apartment and seeing or hearing something they weren't supposed to. It's also your only human interaction of the day. Sure, you go to work. You eat your lunch outside. You lurk in the stacks at the library, but it's all alone. You try to make conversation with strangers, but you strike out each time. You don't seem very good at taking a hint. Honestly, it's kind of pathetic how excited the Taqueria folks are for you that you have someone to share a meal with. Maybe they just hope you'll stop talking to them. The tweets always start about 20 minutes into the episode. I don't think you've ever listened all the way through before you have something to say to us about it, which means you're queuing up the new episode as you leave the Taqueria with your takeout and walk to your car, cranking up the volume high enough to drown out anything else and throw your phone on the front seat as you start the car, muttering aloud as we begin talking about that week's murders, or, for this week, as I tell this special story, drafting tweets in your head while you drive. If I've got my math right, you're in the car now, fine-tuning your next scathing tweet storm, your fingers on the steering wheel itching to grab your phone, but safety first. Still, you're dying to tweet, to the point that nothing else matters. Pulling into your driveway, and you're not even thinking about the special someone waiting in the darkest, most soundproofed corner of your place. You're not even thinking about what every woman must consider every time she gets into a car. Did I look in the back seat? Ellen, I'm coming for you. Stay smart, jammers.
Not Your Final Girl was recorded in its entirety on September 7 in New York City, featuring Lily Cooper and Samantha Nugent. It was written by Natalie Zuder and directed by Kristen Tominosi. Sound engineering, design, and editing by Liz Regan. Play development by Lauren Malici. Artwork by Andrew Singer. DTC Radio theme by Spencer Robelin. Not Your Final Girl was a DTC Radio production. My name is Pip Gengenbach, and thank you for joining me on this adventure. You can like Distilled Theater Company on Facebook, and for behind-the-scenes photos, follow us on Instagram at Distilled Theater. Until next time, congratulations on your Emmy, and good night, Laura Dern, wherever you are.